time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
KSLU.org/
Ain't no slash.
No, there isn't a slash,
ain't
is there?
A slash.
And Chad P.
Question.
Yeah.
This song, Photograph?
Yeah.
One arm or two?
Class is in.
Rock School. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Joe Burns. We are broadcasting from the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University. A former student of mine sitting to my immediate right. Your name is?
Chad P.
He is one who must learn, and we're going to learn about some songs today.
All right.
Let me tell you where this one came from.
Please do.
We're driving down the street, me and my loving wife, and the kids in the back, and he's got his two Spider-Man things, and he's smashing them into each other and giggling, which...
Yeah.
Makes me nervous about the future of him as he's giggling, smashing these things together. And on comes the first song that we are going to play here. We're an American band by Grand Funk.
All right.
And the lyric goes by Up All Night with Freddie King and on and on and on. And then finally, the lead singer, Mark Farner, says, Sweet, sweet Connie was doing her act. She had the whole show, and that's a matter of fact.
Okay.
And my wife turns to me and she says, who's sweet, sweet Connie? And I said, well, that's Connie, sweet Connie, the groupie. She goes, what groupie? Oh, a show.
Ding, ding.
Oh. So I decided there's got to be other songs that have famous people or not so famous people mentioned inside of them.
Uh-huh.
So... For an hour,
hey.
We're going to go through songs that have people mentioned inside of them that you might have gone, who is that?
Who's that?
And we're going to tell you who they are.
Appropriate title for the show. Who's that?
Who's that? So we'll begin. Grand Funk. We're an American band. Freddie King.
Yeah.
Up All Night with Freddie King. Who's Freddie King? He's a Texas blues guitarist. Have You Ever Loved a Woman was his big song. He's known for playing a gold-top Les Paul. He also had a secondary hit called The Stumble.
Okay.
All right. Who's Sweet Sweet Connie? Sweet Sweet Connie is Connie Hamsey. She was the big groupie in Little Rock, Arkansas. One of the most, as she called it, and this is a quote from her Cosmopolitan magazine profile in 1974, one of the most, quote, prolific groupies of all time.
Prolific.
I'm not quite sure what prolific means, but there was also a quick, when you look at her rundown on Wikipedia,
uh-huh.
Remember when Dan Fogelberg died?
No.
Well, Dan Fogelberg died not too long ago,
okay.
And leader of the band, and Auld Lang Syne were a couple of his hits.
Right.
And the best she could say was that she made Dan Fogelberg a happy man when he came to Little Rock, Arkansas. By the way, Freddie King is dead.
Yeah.
Sweet Sweet Connie is still alive.
Go ahead, Connie.
She is part owner in a place called the Sticky Fingers Rock and Roll Chicken Shack in Little Rock, Arkansas. So if you want, jump in the car. Head up to Little Rock, Arkansas. See if you can't lay yourself right around the Sticky Fingers Rock and Roll Chicken Shack. And the woman who serves you a Coca-Cola, a beer, and a big giant plate of chicken fingers may very well be Connie Hamsey.
Sweet, sweet Connie.
Sweet, sweet Connie, because you may very well be part of an American band. It's Grand Funk on Rock School. Like, we're an American band. We're coming to your town We'll help you party down. How do you write that lyric and go, yeah, that's good, let's go with that?
Because it rhymes.
I guess it does. You know what's funny? Mark Farner, the lead guitarist and a lot of the songs that he sung for Grand Funk Railroad, he became a Christian artist.
All right.
And he didn't like a lot of the content that was in a lot of the Grand Funk songs, but the people who came to see Mark Farner, even though he was a Christian artist, wanted to hear the songs.
Oh, no.
So he rewrote a lot of the lyrics. Remember the song, She's Some Kind of Wonderful?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rewrote them all as Christian
really?
Songs. And American Band became, you know, I'm a Jesus Christ fan. And
now, did that go over well with the crowd? Or?
Well, all I know is that a buddy of mine was a big fan of Grand Funk, and he went to see him, Mark Farner, out on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked in. There was only about, I don't know, in a place that holds 1,500 people, there was about 500 there. And he said what was really funny is there was a guy out there trying to scalp tickets. And he's going, $500, $200, pack of cigarettes, I'll dance for you. And nobody seemed to want the tickets. Next in line, David Bowie.
Okay.
Gene Genie. The Gene Genie. Now, who is Gene Genie? Who is this? Gene Genie is Gene Genet.
Okay.
And who is this guy? He is a prominent, controversial French writer and also later a political activist that really was part of this movement that David Bowie liked. This is around the time of Ziggy Stardust when David Bowie would put on the heavy makeup and the androgynous clothes.
Yeah.
This is from the album Aladdin Sane back in 1973. In fact, the song Ziggy Stardust was the B-side. If you got the single that had Gene Genie on it, Ziggy Stardust. If you want to find something from Gene Genet, look him up on eBay. Some of the things you might know by him: The Thief's Journal, Our Lady in the Flowers, The Balcony, The Blacks and the Maids. If you don't know any of those, don't feel so bad. I didn't either. He's a lot of artistic stuff, and it's that late 60s, early 70s, far out, wacky, heavy colors, I will change the world, but first I will smoke this long cigarette type stuff. So spell the last name G-E-N-E-T, misspelled a little bit, it becomes Gene Genie.
Okay.
Who David Bowie decided to write a song about on Rock School.
City, strung out on lasers and slashed back blazers and ate all your razors while pulling the waders, talking about Monroe and walking on Snow White. New York's a go-go and everything tastes nice. Poor little greenie.
Gene Genet.
Good little tune name.
Hey, I love that one.
Did Bowie play the harmonica, or did he have a harmonica player for that?
I have no idea. I'd have to look that up. I'm willing to bet he didn't, because I've never seen David Bowie play anything but a guitar, and even then, he's just strumming the chords on the thing.
Mm.
That's the only thing I've ever seen David Bowie play, but that doesn't mean he can't, because he's the author of a lot of these tunes. And as a matter of fact, I've put together two or three songs just over the past weekend getting ready for some other shows, and two or three more David Bowie songs came up. Not that David Bowie's going to sing them, that he was the author of them.
Mm.
And it seems to me that if all you can play is a guitar, you're going to have a hard time writing all of this intricate music. So might have to actually look that up.
All right.
Mutt Lange.
Uh-huh.
Who's Mutt Lange? Mutt Lange is the producer of numerous 80s rock bands. But if you had to pick out his jewel, the one that really stands out, it's Def Leppard.
Hey.
And his real crowning achievement of Def Leppard is the album Pyromania from 1983.
Mm-hmm.
He took this ragtag group of guys that had put out two albums, and they were really crunchy rock and roll. On Through the Night, they were all like 13, 14, 15 years old. It's not bad. They had a good song on there called Wasted and Hello America and some crunchy stuff. And then they had another album called High and Dry, which was pretty good. And the song High and Dry actually got on the PMRC's Filthy 15 list.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty good stuff. But when Pyromania came out, it really everything was smoothed and the edges were clean and the vocals all just seemed to meld together like a, you know, a church choir. And it was all because this guy, this wizard called Mutt Lang, got a hold of them in the studio and put it all together.
Was that his real first name?
Mutt? Yeah, Mutt Lang. Can you believe that? What's really fun about it is he hates the spotlight. So when you see a picture of him, it's always this stock photo from when he was like 25. I think the guy's 60 now. When you see that, here's Mutt Lang, and it's a picture of like when he was 25.
Why not?
No way he looks like that now. But the first single off the album was called Photograph. And you wonder, who's the photograph of? It's never really said in the lyrics who the photograph is of. But thanks to MTV, all you got to do is watch it, because there she is, tall, white dress, standing over a grate, with the wind blowing up the skirt, platinum blonde hair. The photograph is of Marilyn Monroe.
I love Def Leppard.
So do I. I really do.
Quick question.
Yeah.
This song, Photograph?
Yeah.
One arm or two?
I think the drummer, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I think the drummer has both of his arms at this point in time. I think he still has two at this point in time.
You know what's a shame is that I admire that guy for playing with one arm.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name either.
I feel horrible.
Yeah, it's
you know,
out there.
He's one of those guys I look up to, and I, what's his name?
Yeah, when you watch the VH1 Behind the Music, when they're talking to Def Leppard about one of their albums, I think it's the Hysteria album, not this one, but Mutt Lang said to them, because when you listen Def Leppard, their music is a lot more simple than you would think it would be. There's not a zillion notes. Mutt Lang said to them, you guys want to play arenas? Then make music that sounds good in arenas. You're not a jazz band. You're a rock band.
Hey.
And I thought, hey, good. Good idea.
Good for him.
Take a pause for the cause. Back in 1 minute.
Programming on KSLU is underwritten in part by Home Theater Etc. With the Super Bowl right around the corner, Home Theater Etc. has various brands of flat panel displays, including Pioneer Elite, Sharp, LG, Sony, and many others. You can even inquire about special home theater projectors that display a 120-inch screen. Home Theater Etc. is located at West Morris Street across from Florida Parish's Bank. The telephone number is area code 985-340-7777. Home Theater Etc., a proud supporter of 90.9 FM KSLU.
Rock School, as we look at a bunch of songs that have names of people in it. And if you've ever listened to the song, you kind of think, well, who is that? Who are they talking about? Well, we've got some songs here, and I'm going to tell you who they are.
Yep.
I told you earlier in the year that I wanted to actually start picking out some songs that were earlier in the time frame.
You did?
Maybe get back to some of the earlier roots of rock and roll.
It's good to know where you came from.
Bobby Darin. Bobby Darin. You like Bobby Darin?
I do.
Hey, so do I.
I do.
Some of the earlier stuff from Bobby Darin, really good. One of Bobby Darin's biggest songs is called Mac the Knife.
I love that song.
Really good tune. Mac the Knife actually came from a German musical called The Three Penny Opera. It doesn't translate straight away. So a lot of the lyrics that people know from the Bobby Darin version, and also the Brian Setzer Orchestra has a version of Mac the Knife, a lot of the lyrics don't come directly from the Three Penny Opera version. So what I'm going to give you are some of the names that are in the Bobby Darin version.
Okay.
Four women are mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Hey Suki Tadre,
mm-hmm.
Jenny Diver,
mm-hmm.
Polly Peachum, and Lucy Brown.
I remember Lucy Brown.
Who are these people?
I remember Lucy Brown. I think Robbie Williams did it one time.
That's right.
Robbie
Williams did do a version
of
it.
I remember him going Lucy Brown because he said something to the audience right after. He's like, how you doing, woman? When he said Lucy Brown.
To
like,
a Lucy
who
Brown?
Who is he talking to? go ahead.
If you listen to the whole thing, Mac the Knife is, his nickname is Mackie because you hear it later in the song, old Mackie's back in town. Mack the Knife is a hitman who kills people with a switchblade, who is likened to a shark.
Okay.
The shark bites with his teeth, dear. Scarlet billows start to spread, but Mack is so clean, whoosh, you never even see it.
Mm.
Now, Mack the Knife is married to two women, Polly Peachum and Lucy Brown. Listen to the words.
In that order?
Suki Tawdry is a woman that he kills. Jenny Diver is a prostitute. It was a nickname at that time for a prostitute. Get it? Jenny Diver?
Oh.
Get it? Yeah. So those are what the names. They're all character names, but they're tipped in the song as to who the characters are. Mm. Suki Tawdry is the victim. Jenny Diver is the prostitute. And Mack the Knife, Polly Peachum, Lucy Brown, both wives. Or at least that's what it tips to in the song. At least that's what it sounds like. But overall, Mack the Knife, a character in the Three Penny Opera, kills people with a knife. Old Mack Heath, babe, because he's back in town. It's Bobby Darin on Rock School.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe.
That's great.
Never be able to listen to that song again the same way.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. I know it's not like Rock School set, but I just want to start playing tunes now and again that show the history of it. Where did it come from? Where did the structure of rock come from? And I want to start playing some more stuff that kind of gave the introduction of where rock and roll came from.
The roots, man.
The roots. And I think you got to know where you came from to know where you're going.
Amen.
Sounds like it came right out of a bad book I just finished reading. We're close to the bottom of the hour. Let me pitch a website to you, ladies and gentlemen. You want to see what we look like? We are handsome men.
You do, trust me.
At least I am.
Well,
he is too. But I'm more so. KSLU.org/
Ain't no slash.
No, there isn't a slash.
There's
is there?
No slash.
I just came to a screeching halt. You want to talk about a giant brain freeze? KSLU.org. When you get there, look for a thing that says Rock School and click on it. And then you'll find a lot of stuff, including my slash, apparently.
That's right.
So, anyway, go ahead. You want to write us an email? Chad's got the email.
KSLU Rock School.
Slash. Slash.
At gmail.com.
Slash.
KSLU Rock School.
Slash.
At gmail.com. There's no slash.
Okay. Slash.
You ready to be stumped?
Are we done?
Yeah.
There was no slash?
There's not a slash.
Okay. We're talking about Jimi Hendrix today. He did a song called Voodoo Child, or if you want to pronounce it the way it was originally done, Voodoo Child.
C-H-I-L-E.
I know it looks like chili, but child. Mm. And he's his child's slight return.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead.
We're going to do the stump on Jimi Hendrix and the actual song.
Voodoo
it's
Child.
Very, very simple. You may or may not get it. But
okay.
If you've watched any type of television programming over the last 7 to 10 years.
7 to 10 years? Oh,
yeah.
That's not at all a wide berth of information.
You'll know it, I promise.
Okay, shoot.
What very popular professional wrestler decided
Hulk Hogan.
There you go.
Oh, Hulk, I even knew that
All right.
Absolutely.
Well,
knew
you know,
that
he came
one.
Out to I Am a Real American for so long until he turned bad.
Yeah, and
now
then
all of a sudden he came out to Voodoo Child.
Yeah, and now he's doing that stupid American Gladiators.
It's not stupid.
It is stupid because they have these perfectly in tune, heavily muscled people going up against some jerk from accounts receivable from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, who doesn't even stand a chance.
Obviously, you don't watch pros versus Joe's.
I don't even want to hear
television.
It. Who is the Voodoo Child in Jimi Hendrix's song?
Tell me.
It's Jimi.
It's what?
It's Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix is
himself.
The Voodoo Child. This comes from Gary Patterson's book, Take a Walk on the Dark Side.
Okay.
Here's the situation. Jimi Hendrix believed that voodoo was a form of religion for good or evil, depending on how you wanted to use it.
All right.
Jimi Hendrix was of both African-American and Native American heritage.
Okay.
He has both heritage in his back life.
Okay.
His Cherokee grandmother gave him a Native American name. However, Jimi Hendrix's father legally changed his name away from that Cherokee name.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Native American religion believes that when your name is changed away from your Native American name, the Native American soul is split.
Oh.
And one cannot then achieve the Native American, I'm not sure what you call it, heaven.
Achievable
or
stuff.
Yeah, nirvana, what have you.
Okay.
So Jimmy, in his belief system, cannot ever achieve perfection. He is half here, half there. So he is the voodoo child.
Look at
who's
that
the voodoo
boy.
Child? Jimi Hendrix is the voodoo child.
How about that?
There you go on Rock School.
Slash. Representing the New World Order, the heavyweight champion, Hollywood, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I understand he's got an entire ham sandwich lost in his mustache somewhere around there. This is Rock School.
Alone. He got divorced.
Yeah, I feel really bad for him. I'm sure he has no trouble getting a date. This is Rock School as we talk about people.
You are one hateful human being sometimes.
You know, if you got your own VH1 show, you're akin to Brett Michaels to me.
Yep. And you can catch that at VH1 slash.
Slash, where there's no actual slash. So let's move along with another person inside of a song.
Okay.
The Pink Floyd song, Have a Cigar, doesn't necessarily mention somebody, but if you listen to it, the song Have a Cigar talks about a conversation that's being had with Pink Floyd.
Okay.
There is a record representative who is obviously interested in the band but has no idea who they are because he says, oh, by the way, which one's Pink?
Which one's Floyd?
Which was an actual conversation that the band had with their record representatives.
Sounds like the guy on the Sunset Strip that called, which one is Van?
Yeah, which one's Van? With Van Halen. Yeah, you're talking about Ghazari.
Who
had no idea that David Lee Roth's name was David. He thought his name was Van.
There you go, Van.
One's name was Halen, one was Van, so you called him that. This happened in this was off the 1975 album Wish You Were Here. Roger Waters wrote the song off of an actual conversation that happened. Pink Floyd is actually named after two blues musicians, Pink Anderson and Floyd Council. That's where it came from. But when Floyd started to really hit, the record company, who had nothing to do with them when they were just selling a little bit, brought them in and, oh, we love you now, and Have a Cigar, boys, and, oh, it's a monster. We're going to make a whole lot of money, and, oh, by the way,
what's your name?
Which one's Pink? And the person he put his hand out to was Syd Barrett.
Okay.
Syd Barrett was the original founder of Pink Floyd, and Syd Barrett, if you know the story, he was the original songwriter of Floyd and hated, he was the original Kurt Cobain, hated fame, retreated into LSD and other basically psychosis-inducing drugs, and basically went bonkers and had to live out his life almost in an asylum. He lived in the basement of a floral shop until his body just finally gave out on him. He, at the end, had no idea that this band he had started became this worldwide sensation. So inside of Have a Cigar, who is it? Syd Barrett on Rock School. You love how it turns into a little AM radio right there?
I forgot about that
at
first.
Oh, I love that sound.
I think I just wet myself.
I love that sound.
Hate it.
Have a cigar.
I don't know what's going to happen.
That's Pink Floyd on Rock School.
What sound is that in the background when it finally comes in?
Oh, that's a Moog synthesizer that's put to, I think, a sawtooth, I think it's called, a sawtooth setting. It's the same setting that's on Jump from Van Halen.
Okay.
It's sort of a buzz when it plays.
After hearing who the song is about and what was going on with him, what was his name?
Sid Barrett.
After hearing that, you almost could, in a way, associate that type of mood and attitude with those melodies from that Sid Mood synthesizer.
You know, sure. The minor keys and such.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, the people
it
from Pink
like
Floyd.
It picks like a very dark atmosphere and almost depressed. You know, like you said, Kurt Cobain-ish.
Yeah, when somebody says, "Oh, Pink Floyd, just a bunch of pot smokers," and they put the whole Dark Side of the Moon album. They were all just high on ganja. You don't write music like that. High on weed.
No, I've had some friends that wrote some songs high on weed.
And they didn't sound like that.
That sounded
no.
very
Let's take a minute. We'll be right back.
Programming on KSLU is underwritten in part by Home Theater Etc. With the Super Bowl right around the corner, Home Theater Etc. has various brands of flat panel displays, including Pioneer Elite, Sharp, LG, Sony, and many others. You can even inquire about special home theater projectors that display a 120-inch screen. Home Theater Etc. is located at West Morris Street across from Florida Parish's Bank. The telephone number is area code 985-340-7777. Home Theater Etc., a proud supporter of 90.9 FM KSLU.
Let's go back to the Revolver album here on Rock School, and let's talk about the song Taxman.
Taxman.
The topic for this, as the taxes are starting to come in, have you received any of the documents yet for your taxes?
One.
Got my first one. My very first one. We always take a drawer. We have this big apothecary thing as you walk in the front door with like 20 drawers.
Yeah, I've always seen it.
One drawer, clean that puppy out, and everything that comes in, and throw it right into the drawer.
Well,
and
my drawer is empty because I have nothing.
CPA. I got the first one, so we're starting that little drawer.
We're going to have fits this year, man. Because my wife sells real estate full-time now.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
When I owned my own business for about 3 years, we were audited 3 years.
Oh, look at
That's
you.
That's the first thing that stopped me from owning a business. The end. I'll let somebody else pay me. You'll never be rich. Good. This is the Beatles' Taxman.
Uh-huh.
And this actually got into a bit of a fight after John Lennon passed away. There was a bit of a fight. Who wrote the song? Now, it's normally given to George Harrison.
Okay.
But apparently there were some writings and such that Yoko Ono brought out that John Lennon said that he came up with a lot of the separate sections, specifically the section where they go, "Ha ha, Mr. Wilson, ha ha, Mr. Heath." Who is Mr. Wilson and Mr. Heath? These two people.
Okay.
The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom at the time of the writing of the song was Harold Wilson.
Okay.
The next Prime Minister coming up was Edward Heath. Wilson and Heath were the leaders of the British Labour Party and the British Conservative Party, respectfully. Now, why on earth were they mentioned? Well, the song was called Taxman, and both of those parties were known for raising taxes on the people of the UK.
Why not?
So you had to be in the UK to get the bit. It would be like kind of saying, "Aha, you know, George Bush, Nancy Pelosi." It would be kind of like saying that here in the United States.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Nah, Pelosi just didn't come out as quickly as Heath. So here's Taxman. Rock School.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Now my advice to those who die, declare the pennies on your eyes. That's a tax man by the Beatles right here on Rock School.
Now we were talking off mic and I had asked you about, now it was to my recollection that was not the only dispute that they had as to who wrote what, right?
No, and there were a ton of disputes with the Beatles, because if you look at almost every Beatles song that was not a Harrison or a Starkey, now Ringo Starr's real name was Richard Starkey.
Right.
So when it was written by Ringo Starr, it's actually written as Starkey.
Starkey.
Right. But if it was not a Ringo Starr or a George Harrison song, it's always by contractual law, it's always written as Lennon-McCartney, even though one wrote and one that the other didn't. It's always written that way, so there's always this discussion. And you always get that bit that the rockers were written by John Lennon and the ballads were written by Paul McCartney. And it's not that way at all, because some of the heaviest rockers by the Beatles think Helter Skelter.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, well, that's got to be a John Lennon tune. Wrong-o. That was written by Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't always fall one way or the other. And some of the ones, about the only thing you can do is say is the real psychedelic tunes were written by John Lennon.
I would think.
Yeah, For the Benefit of Mr. Kite was written by John Lennon. You know, this isn't Being for the Benefit, but, you know, follow her down to a boat on the river with rocking horse people, eat marshmallow pies. That's John Lennon.
Good night.
You're not going to get that out of Paul McCartney. So we're done.
We're done.
We have time for one more song. Let me quickly give you the ones that we're not going to get to. I brought this one. I didn't think we'd play it, but I brought it anyway. Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes.
Ah.
Obviously, that's Betty Davis. U2's Angel of Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
That was about Billie Holiday.
Really?
So, yeah. CCR's Bad Moon Rising.
Who's that about?
That was about Richard Nixon.
What?
Yeah, they considered him the Bad Moon Rising.
Oh, poor fellow.
And Falco, Rock Me Amadeus.
Amadeus.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. The last one is going to be by Elton John. It features one of my favorites, the Muscle Shoals horns. Have you ever been to northern Alabama, into the Shoals area, Florence, Muscle Shoals, Tuscumbia, and I can't think of what the fourth city is?
Only through the Mobile Tunnel.
No, it's a beautiful area, and there's this little tiny recording studio right there in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, called Fame Studios.
Okay.
And you're allowed to go into the waiting area, and man, you wouldn't believe it. The Stones have recorded there. Obviously, Elton John has recorded there. Bruce Springsteen and Bob Seger, major artists, have come to this little tiny building that kind of looks like a barn right out in the middle of nowhere in Muscle Shoals.
By the cover.
Unbelievable. The Muscle Shoals horns are on this. It's from 1975. This song was written as a favor to Bernie Taupin and Elton John's friend, Billie Jean King.
Okay.
Billie Jean King had a traveling tennis team that would go around the United States and play to raise money.
Okay.
And they were called the Philadelphia Freedoms.
Hey.
And that's where the song came from.
Nice.
Elton John, Philadelphia Freedom. We're done?
Yep.
We're done.
My
name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
There you go. Class is dismissed.